Good morning. Welcome to our celebration of worship. Please stand and join me in the call to worship. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to God and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and God's love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Let us join now in our song of worship, number 570, We Gather Together. Let us pray. O God of all blessings. We thank you for the gift of life, for the breath that sustains life, for the food of this earth that nourishes life, for the love of family and friends. We thank you for the mystery of creation, for the beauty that eye can see, for the joy that ear may hear, for the unknown. We thank you for setting us in communities, for families who nurture our becoming, for friends who love us by choice, for companions at work who share our burdens and daily tasks, for strangers who welcome us into their midst, who offer us hope for the future. We give you thanks, eternal loving God, for these and all blessings through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And this is not a temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good to see everyone here today, and we welcome you to our service, and we are thankful that you are here on this, the last Sunday of the liturgical year, and the Sunday right before Thanksgiving, when we think about the things that we are thankful for. After the worship service today, the youth are having a cleanup day, and we're going to clean up the leaves, mostly in the back and around, and we're going to have a brief lunch. I know that we have food down there. Anybody who wants to stay and help is welcome. And we look forward to that time of work and fellowship together. Also, don't forget, if you haven't already done it, to make your honorariums and memorials for poinsettias, which will be coming soon. So get those in. There seems to be a lot of things going on in the community, and some of them are coming right up on us, and just as sort of a community service, we'll let you know, for instance, that tonight is the Handbell Choir concert at Gray Chapel over at Ohio Wesleyan at 7 o'clock. Then this Saturday is a big one. You've got the Andrews House Cupboard, and you've got the Women's Lunch, and you've got the packing day at Penn, which is held out at the fairgrounds. That's Saturday morning. So be aware of those things. And also, our missions project for the month is collecting some toys for the foster children. You see their names. I know that some of you have signed up, but please be mindful of that. And I'll let Randy make his announcement about another community opportunity.
Two weeks from today, the Community Chorus will be doing their Christmas concert. It will be at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on December 8th at the Powell United Methodist Church. Just to let you know a few things, some of my favorites at least, will be starting the concert with Masters of This Hall, and then we'll be doing several different Christmas tunes and things like that, including one where we have an excellent soprano soloist doing O Holy Night. And then after intermission is the real I guess, star of the show, as we'll be doing Rutter's Gloria. So it would be well worth watching if you can make it down there. Tickets are $15. I do have some with me, but all students are free. So don't buy any tickets for your students. They get in free. And other tickets are $15 a piece.
Are there any other announcements that we should... Yes, Pam. They're the next. This Saturday is Thanksgiving weekend. So don't be misled. It's 2 weeks away when those opportunities arise. Our song of praise is "Come Ye Thankful People, Come." Shall we stand and sing another of our traditional Thanksgiving hymns? As we come to this time of offering, and I'll invite the ushers to come forward. Once a year, we do make a special emphasis after we've passed the budget to give everyone an opportunity to pledge what their offerings will be and what their service will be for the coming year. And this is our time to do that this year. You've each received a letter, and I'm sure you've had time to think about it, and you may put those pledges in the offering plate in addition to your offerings this morning. And our prayer of dedication for our offering is also a prayer of dedication for our pledges for the coming year. Shall we pray? Lord, we are thankful that we have this ministry, that you have given to us the opportunity to give of our lives, not only in service, but to give a portion of what we have been able to earn because of your grace to the ministry of this church, which we not only benefit from, but which benefits others here and in our community and around the world. We dedicate these pledges to you, and we dedicate our lives to you, and ask that you accept our faith and that you bless these gifts. We also give you our offering, and we pray that you would bless it too, to the work of your church in the world, given in faith and gratitude. In Jesus' name, amen. Brothers all will now come forward, and we will sing another Thanksgiving hymn. Our time for prayer, and we have the opportunity to share with one another both joys and concerns. Is there anything that you would like to share with the congregation this morning?
I have both a joy and a concern. The joy is Mom's cookie recipe was in the dispatch
this morning.
Okay. The concern, prayers for the Kennard family. Becky Kennard is our administrative secretary in our building, and her husband passed away this week from cancer.
Many of you know and remember Bill Hedges, Nichelle's father. They have joint homes, one here in Delaware and one in Florida. Apparently he was down there by himself, not taking care of himself, and he got really sick and then ended up in the hospital. And he has issues with his liver and his pancreas, which are not good things to have troubles with. And so Melissa, Nichelle's sister, drove down to get her parents and bring them back up here. And last we heard, they're going to be admitting Bill to Riverside Hospital. So please keep the family in prayers. Thank you.
Good morning. I have a joy and honor to be once again joining you all. I would like to express my gratitude for all the prayers and cards and other expressions of thoughts that were extended to me during my recuperation. So thank you very much, and it's good to be back.
So I have a friend named Rob Gibson. I've served him on Monday nights the last 5 or 6 weeks because he woke up losing feeling in his body, and by the time he got to the ER, he was a quadriplegic. And so he's been in recovery at the Select Hospital in Columbus. Praise God, he's regained use of his arms and legs on a limited basis, and he goes home this week. And I guess the joy is I got to serve the Kennard family, and what a great Christian witness they have as a family. And I think the service is this afternoon, so pray for Becky and their son and daughter, right? The son and daughter.
I'd like prayers for my nephew, Jay. He's had his knee operated on. He was in the hospital twice this week with clots. Just keep him in your prayers, please.
We should have in our thoughts our Ohio Wesleyan student who's been very faithful since he came here as a foreign exchange student his first year. We just learned this morning he was in an automobile accident in a borrowed vehicle. We don't think he's seriously injured, but that creates great problems, obviously, when you're a foreign exchange student in a foreign country and on limited finances. Keep love in your prayers. He's got deep Baptist roots, and he's been here every Sunday, and he called us telling us he couldn't be here.
Sorry, I'm kind of hidden behind the phone here. I have a joy. I have 20 work days left until I'm retired. And Friday we interviewed who they're going to make an offer tomorrow, my replacement. So that was a great joy to be part of that process and be able to have input on who was going to replace me. So I'm very happy.
Continue to be in prayer for Raleigh and for others who are unable to be here with us. We pray for our country and for its leaders and for those who serve. Shall we pray? We come to you at this time, O Lord, with gratitude in our hearts. Because of the season of the year it is, we're always grateful during the Thanksgiving time. But underneath, there is a gratitude that stays with us every day because you have loved us and you have cared for us. You have given us life and you have given us forgiveness and grace. And you have rescued us from difficult situations and you have encouraged and comforted us when we have had hardships and trials. We thank you. And we also pray and ask that you would continue to love us and care for us and forgive us. We are thankful and we ask that you would continue to rescue us, heal our lives, renew our minds, transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Our song of meditation this morning is In the Faith We Sing, and it is number 2036. Stand and sing, give thanks together.
The reading this morning is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 20, and this is Paul and his brother Timothy, his brother in Christ, Timothy, writing to the faithful in Colossae. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all the power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Thanks be to God.
Well, it's the Sunday before Thanksgiving. I'm hopeful, and I am sure that all of you have plans for a good week. Those of you who are in school don't have to go the whole week. And that makes it a good week any way you look at it. And it's rivalry week, I'm told. And that is a lot of fun for some people. All over America, people will gather to share a feast and celebrate the blessings of life. And there is, of course, much to be thankful about. Each one of us should have a list in our minds this time of year. There may be some things on that list that weren't there last year. And there might be some things that were that are not there this year. But I will let you keep your own list. I would like just to make mention of a few things. One thing to say is that it is good to be alive. Now, this might not sound like it's saying much, but it is. As a matter of fact, I'm impressed by the very first page of the Bible saying over and over at the end of each day, "And it was good," which was a way of saying to all of us from the start, it's good to be alive. And it's good to be alive in this world. It's good to be healthy and strong enough to experience life's beauty and its wonders and its pleasures. It's good to have at least some means with which to enjoy them. We are thankful for the beauty of nature, for the sustenance of food and shelter, and all of the others of life's necessities, which sometimes we forget that we have been given. We are thankful for meaningful work, for family, and for friends, because without such things, we would struggle to conclude that it is good to be alive. And we are thankful because of the larger communities of which we are a part. We know that our families, our church, our community, our country has been a place where we have been able to thrive and do well. We know that in some places, for some people, there is a greater threat of war or violence than what we have known, where the communities are in greater disarray, where the systems that provide life's necessities have broken down. There is suffering. And I'm not saying that we are thankful that we're not in one of those situations, because that seems to be the wrong point to take. But I think it is safe to say that most of us would agree that we have been cared for, and we are thankful for the care that we have been given. And it is right that gratitude should be our response. So let me suggest one more thing about gratitude in general that I think is helpful, and that is that this attitude of the heart, which acknowledges the goodness of things, which acknowledges it when we have been taken care of, does not necessarily have to be nurtured. There are some who don't nurture it. And maybe I would say that some of us from time to time don't nurture it very well. Life has hardships, and it sometimes is tempting to focus on the hardships. And that affects our general mood. Thankfulness is uplifting. Self-pity drags us down, even when it's justified. Maybe even particularly when it's justified. We have choices about these attitudes, and given the choice to stew over life's hardships and complain, or reflect on life's blessings and give thanks, it is better to give thanks. Not just once a year, but daily, all throughout the year. You'll actually feel better. That has been my experience. I hope you all have a wonderful Thanksgiving. But there is one more thing. Our text from Colossians is from Colossians this morning, and in it, Paul contrasts what he calls the kingdom of light with the dominion of darkness. I suppose that when he proclaims the victory of the kingdom of light, we could simplify things by saying that in addition to the other things on our list,
we are thankful for the salvation that we have been given. And I suppose I could leave it there and we could go rake leaves. But if I may, let me suggest that we look at things at least a little bit deeper. One of the intellectual or ideological components of the biblical thought is known as apocalypticism. And that is a word that I am sure that you've heard before. Because if it's not one that you've heard in church, you've seen it in movies, Apocalypse Now and all other kinds of things. Part of what that means is that there is a belief in a cosmic struggle between good and evil, between the forces of light and the forces of darkness. And this idea has never been far from the popular mind. I think of movies themselves, because movies are the storytelling medium of our age. And I think of Star Wars, and that's what Star Wars is about. And I think of The Lord of the Rings, and that's what The Lord of Rings, the Rings is about. And I think of all those Marvel and comics and whatever the others are, with the superheroes and Batman and Superman and all the rest. They reflect not only the belief in this cosmic struggle, but our fascination with it. And maybe even sometimes they reflect our frustration that in order to be able to feel good about it, we have to go to the movie theater and watch somebody act out the victory. I'm not sure what Paul would say about these movies, but I think that when he mentions these things, the kingdom of light and the dominion of darkness, he's at least speaking in the direction of this struggle. This is a struggle that is experienced individually. And in another text that Paul writes in Romans chapter 7, which I'm sure that you're familiar with, he writes very passionately about how he struggles to do the good he knows he ought to do, but can't. And how he struggles to avoid the evil that he knows he ought not to do, but he can't seem to avoid it. All of us know about this internal struggle. We are at war within between the desire to love and the tendency to hate. Between the realization that we must be concerned with the meeting of our own basic needs. And we must be. But on the other hand, we know that we must also be concerned about others and trying to strike the right balance, because the temptation is to be selfish, or should I say, self-ish, to emphasize, overly concerned with our own well-being. It's a struggle. And we are at war within between the acknowledgement of this great threat to our own being, which is sin and death, and the fear that arises from it, the anxiety level that rises up. And on the other hand, our desire for inner peace, for joy. The temptation is to become angry and selfish and afraid, which work against our desire for joy and love and peace. But this struggle is also seen on a larger scale, and Paul's language here in Colossians sort of points us in that direction. We think of our life together with all the communities that we are a part of, whether small groups like our families, and sometimes even in our families there is strife, or larger ones like the country we live in or the whole human family. And we see trouble all around. Of course, one can hardly be awake and miss the unrest and dissatisfaction in our political life, which has caused people to not talk to one another, because if they did, they would probably start arguing. And who knows where that would lead.
And the more one pays attention, the more one sees combustible situations that might burst forth into flames and could be catastrophic. And sometimes we wonder if it is even possible to be at peace personally in a world that's not. And I would be amiss not to mention the environmental threat. Even though people disagree about it, the threat looms, and it seems like every time we turn around, there's another disaster somewhere. And when disaster happens, what we do is we take up one great hour of sharing offerings, pray for the people, and then forget about them for the most part until the next disaster comes, without realizing that the people who suffered one disaster live in the aftermath of it for years. It's a struggle. Not to mention illnesses like cancer and heart disease, like depression and various kinds of psychosis and addiction and other problems too numerous to name that don't seem to just attack individuals, but they attack the whole society. I suppose that if one does not relate very well to the idea of a cosmic showdown between good and evil, at least we might agree that if there is at least a shadow, a cloud hanging over all of life, and the burden is stressful. And no one escapes the burden, not even the people who have largely been victorious over the struggle in their person, in their inner life. Even those who are in denial about it or just don't want to discuss it live under it. It is a cloud that casts a shadow over everything, even on the sunniest of days. I think it's good for us to understand that things aren't really that different now from other times in history. I don't think the Bible would be relevant to us at all if 2,000 years ago they couldn't use the same language to describe their world and their experience of life as we use to describe ours. And that's what makes St. Paul's prayer for the Colossians and for us so powerful. Paul prays that we might be strengthened with all power and have great endurance and patience and joyfully give thanks because we have been rescued, redeemed, forgiven. The whole message of the Bible, written to people who had been conquered and who had been oppressed, who had suffered the worst, is that in this cosmic struggle, a great victory has been won. And that's the way it's put. Has been won. Even though as we play out the years, it sometimes seems like there is no victory. There is. And we have all been caught up in it. I am sure that the original recipients of Paul's letters, who were by no means the rich and powerful of their times, often felt it was a certain kind of nonsense to speak of such a victory. My suspicion is that that's the reason why he kept telling them. But that victory was and still is the message of the gospel. And there is a great deal of power involved in believing it. As a matter of fact, we're told that our faith is the key that unlocks the door. There is a healing power. There is an encouraging power. But there's also an understanding power that when we come under the influence of this grace that we accept by faith, we're able to come to see things clearly, at least better, in this world of chaos and confusion. And there is a strengthening power. The early believers, they found this victory and this power in Jesus, and not just in his person. His compassion, his kindness, his love, and his wisdom. But they found this victory in his death, which was about as low a death as a person can die in this world, as a rejected criminal. But it is actually in his death
that they saw this triumph because they saw the presence of God in it. And that's the meaning of Paul's words when he says, "For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him." Unless we get confused that when God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him was perhaps at one of His greater times, like when He was preaching the Sermon on the Mount or casting out demons or feeding 5,000 people. Paul goes on, "And through Him to reconcile Himself to all things, whether things on earth or in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross," which is Paul's way of saying that there is never more a time in the life of Jesus when God's presence shone through Him than when He was on the cross. So when it comes to gratitude, we are thankful for the victory of the kingdom of light too, in addition to all the other things. And that, our redemption, is worth being thankful for. It's worth mentioning. Because of this triumph and our faith in it, we are called in this Colossians text to lead lives worthy of the Lord, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God and being strengthened towards endurance and patience and joyful thanks. And it's the same old story. We are not good in order to be saved. We are good because we have been saved. Everything grows out from that one central feature of our lives. So when you look upon your life, as sometimes I do mine, or upon this world, remember this victory, that in Christ it has already been won, lest we become discouraged, lest we allow evil to overcome good in our own hearts, or succumb to some apparent defeat to the dominion of darkness in this world, Paul tells us, that God has saved. There is no such defeat, even when it most seems like it, because out of those defeats comes the power and strength of God to save. Happy Thanksgiving. Shall we pray? Lord, we do ask that You would make us mindful of all the wonderful gifts You've given to us. Make us mindful of the times when we are in distress and we have felt Your presence abiding with us. Help us to understand and see that life is good and that You have cared for us and redeemed us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A song of dedication is in the Faith We Sing, and it's number 2176, "Make Me a Servant." Shall we stand in together and sing? as we anticipate the joy of Thanksgiving that we celebrate with our families and friends this week, bless us, abide with us, strengthen and encourage us, and give us joy. In Christ's name, amen.